You are listening to a podcast of Slovnaft Company.
Hello, my name is Eva Lagasheva, and today we have a guest here for our podcast, Andrei Juriga.
Hi everyone, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and with Andrei we are going to talk about what else? Emotions. First we jump into this topic. I would like to ask Andrei to introduce himself, maybe a bit more, since this is the first time that we can hear you here. And after that, we can right turn towards our first emotion, what we are going to talk about.
Sure. So, as you said, my name is Andrei, Andrei Juriga, and I am the founder of the training company called Cultural Bridge, where we focus on developing people's emotional and intercultural skills. So we work with individuals, teams, or whole organizations, helping them to feel more comfortable when they work across differences of any kind. So they don't need to be cultural differences, they can be generational differences, gender differences, and so on. So how to make people more comfortable bridging those differences and learning about some strategies how to bridge those differences at workplace.
And how come emotions into this topic?
Well, emotions, they play an instrumental role in the whole topic of diversity and inclusion, because people have the tendency to react emotionally in different ways when they are exposed to differences. So while some people, when they are experiencing something new, different, unknown, unfamiliar, they would be very much excited about this because they see it as an opportunity to learn something new, as an opportunity to gain new perspective, so they feel very excited about this difference, while some other people, they feel rather frustrated, they feel scared of the difference, they might feel, okay, this is too complicated, so I rather deny, I rather look away from those differences. So you have different emotional reactions to differences, and that's how emotions and diversity and inclusion come into the game.
Wow, it's a beautiful start and beautiful linking of the two topics, because you actually pretty much linked this way, you pretty much linked also to the first emotion what we are going to deal with. But first, if I can just tell at the beginning that actually before we started to record this podcast, we said let's be super inclusive and let's engage our managers who had the possibility to fill a survey. Based on which survey, we gained information that which so-called negative emotions are the most dominant in their lives, and also which positive emotions are the most dominant in their lives currently, in the recent months, maybe. And, well, we are here to refer and to report that actually uncertainty was one of the most dominant emotions which popped up, that most of the managers filling that survey named exactly uncertainty, that this is something like really, really prevailing in their lives. And I was just thinking, because actually this emotion we were also talking about in our Slovak language podcast, so it was not a big surprise that it came up. However, since it was named, I believe that it was still not enough talks about it, about uncertainty. And you were mentioning that people are reacting differently to differences. So people are also reacting differently to uncertainty as such, right? And just one thing came to my mind, and correct me if it's not the right way to get there, that in those countries where there are the political system is not so stable, or where the ecosystem is not so stable, so there are more drowns, or there are tsunamis, or any kind of these major events, in those populations, as per what I've read in this, I can actually refer to, this is the culture map.
Or the culture map.
The culture map. Yeah, this is the. Because there's another book similarly named. So that was the book where I read about it, and I was really, really astonished about it. Actually, those people who live in under these circumstances, they do not perceive uncertainty as critically as we do, in our super planning cultures. So maybe we can start from this side, if you can just tell me, just explain me how it is exactly, or how come is it possible that uncertainty plays such a big role in our lives? And why are we uncertain?
Right. A lot of questions, but let me start mentioning one thing. As you were describing the survey that has been sent to our audience, and they selected, they made their choice about the most dominant emotions. So you mentioned good and bad emotions, and I know there are people who really believe in the myth that there are good and positive emotions and that there are bad and negative emotions. Now, let me tell you that the way I look at emotions is derived from ontological psychology, and ontological psychology, or we call it also existential psychology, it suggests that there are no good and bad emotions. Non-emotion is either positive or negative. They can be both, actually. In fact, what are emotions? The word itself, emotions, comes from the Latin word emovere. And in Latin, the word emovere means to move to something. So we can easily say that emotions are the energy that moves us to certain action. So we behave because we have some emotional reaction to a situation, then we rationally try to reflect about that emotion, and then we translate it into our action, into our behavior. And so defining emotions as neither positive or negative, we can say they're neutral, and we can look at them as data. So emotions are data that are supposed to inform us about something.
I just heard a very nice comparison, sorry to interrupt, that actually emotions are like the mailman. Mm-hmm. And once they ring your bell, you should open the door and receive the mail and not bang the door and say, so sorry, I was not expecting you to pop up here.
And
right?
I love the analogy because that's exactly what we are supposed to do. We should open the door to our emotions and listen to them because, and by the way, there are more than 200 emotions that we are aware of today or by now. And so each of those is present in our lives. So we all have those emotions. Some of them are more dominant than the others, but each of them has been given to us to inform us about something. So emotions are the reaction to certain situation, and they are supposed to give us an information. And so does uncertainty. So uncertainty might have negative implication on the quality of our life or interactions, but it can actually also serve us in a good way. So let me tell you my interpretation of uncertainty. So uncertainty means that in a situation, in a context, when I see multiple options and I don't know which of them is the best option, or I don't know which of those multiple realities will happen, that's the moment when I start to feel uncertain. If I put it into contrast with certainty, certainty is the moment when I see one single option and I stick to that, right? And certainty is beautiful because it gives me, it creates emotional ease, it creates emotional comfort. That's why we
kind
are
of safety.
It's safe, it's comfortable because we think that we know what is going to happen. That's what certainty is doing to us, bringing emotional comfort, versus uncertainty is about seeing multiple options. I don't know which of them is better or worse, and that creates emotional discomfort. That's why uncertainty is so difficult and uncomfortable for so many people. But let me tell you one thing here. I think, like, when I work with my clients in coaching or workshops, what typically helps them when we address uncertainty is when I explain them that certainty is only a fiction. Certainty is only a belief. We think that we have control over our future. We think, we believe, we want to believe that it's in our hands how our next week at work will look like. But just because I put something into my calendar as a meeting, it doesn't mean it will really happen. But having that scheduled in my calendar, it brings this certainty, so it brings the emotional comfort. And so that's why we plan, that's why we think of the future, that's why when it comes to project management, performance management, time management, we try to plan so we have the feeling or we have the fiction or belief about the control of what is coming next.
And where does this illusion coming from? What do you think? When did it pop up in our
That's a beautiful question. Why did people start to plan? Why was that important? I think there are three major forces or drivers of the need for planning. I think the very first moment when people started to plan was faith and religion, which goes like thousands and thousands of years back. Why religion, why faith? Because people, they lived in an environment which was extremely unpredictable. They didn't know how to interpret everything that was happening around them and inside of them. And so that created a need for an interpretation. And people started to create religious interpretation of what is going on around them. And so they started to create certain set of rules, religious views related to faith, which helped to center people of the group around the same set of rules. And if you have certain rules out there, people are supposed to follow those rules. So you can predict easier how people will behave. So there is religion. Another reason is law. As a set of rules, again, which is very similar to religion, but the legislation, the formation, creation of laws and rules goes beyond religion or faith. And so again, we have laws, we have rules, we have policies at the workplace, so we can predict how people will behave, because we assume that most or the majority of people of the community, of the team, of the company, of the society, they will stick to those rules and follow. So we can predict how they will behave. And of course, there will be some deviation. There will be few people who will deviate from those rules, but you know that the majority will follow. So you anticipate how they will behave. And the third major driver why we as humans need to plan is technology. So it started with industrialization hundreds of years ago when we started to focus more on production. And production is very much linked to planning, measuring the progress, and so on. And so when we, I mentioned performance management, I mentioned time management, I mentioned project management, these are all systems that are based on the idea of planning. And it's not bad. I'm not suggesting that we need to get rid of project management and planning and so on, because again, they do help us to move forward. They do see us clearly an objective, a goal, and to go and walk and run towards that goal. So it's good as long as we understand that certainty is only a belief, right?
Okay, and it's a belief, and I can have the kind of like a standpoint that okay, I've got my diary full. I still believe that all things which are there are gonna happen, but I can say okay, God knows. Well, God knows whether they are actually they will be coming true or not. But if I feel this uncertainty or regularly, how it is that it's very much linked to changes as well, right? And so I can see, but maybe you should correct me, that basically I can relate and react or respond better to uncertainty either with curiosity, and I can say, okay, so what's gonna be new during today's day, right? And I'm jumping out of my bed with curiosity, or I can move out slowly from my bed with the feeling of kind of resignation that, oh my God, what's again? So I don't know whether it will happen or not, what I wanted, what I've planned. So this is my perception, that it's my choice how I decide to perceive it. But maybe you can tell more about people's reaction, or how do we behave in general when we are uncertain? So what kind of behaviors are linked to uncertainty?
Right. So every emotion has three elements. So again, in the ontological psychology, we look at every single emotion through the perspective of three layers or three elements. What is the story? What is the context related to the emotion? So in what kind of situation do we typically feel uncertain? And that's what I mentioned already, right? So I appear in a situation where I see multiple options and I don't know which of them is better, which of them is worse, I don't know what is going to happen. So that would be the context, the stage in which the emotion, the feeling of uncertainty pops up. Now, every emotion has also its purpose. So why we were given this particular emotion? How is it supposed to serve us in the moment? So when we look at the purpose behind uncertainty, it's supposed to tell us that, wait a minute, slow down, because the path to take is not clear. And if you think of this interpretation of the purpose behind uncertainty, it's very useful already, because sometimes people are rushing with their decisions. They think, oh, I know the solution, and they walk the path already, they stick their attention and their focus to one only option, and they believe this is the best option, and they don't see anything else. Uncertainty, when it pops up, is very useful, because it's telling you, wait a minute, there might be different options, you just don't see them yet. So that's the purpose of uncertainty. And as we said at the beginning, emotions are the energy that moves us to something, to certain behavior. So every emotion has an impulse. So to what behavior does this particular emotion moves you? So if you ask me what is the impulse of uncertainty, that's to hesitate and wait for more clarity. So when we feel uncertain, the emotion of uncertainty is telling us, wait, don't rush, slow down, observe and analyze all the options available. And if you think only about this interpretation, it's already very useful, because all of a sudden you see certain upside behind this feeling of uncertainty. Because if we compare again certainty and uncertainty, certainty means I see only one option and one possibility and I stick to that. I focus on that. It's kind of limiting, isn't it? But when you feel uncertainty, it means you see multiple options, you just can't make the choice which of them is better. But in reality, you see more options, it's richer, right? It's more diverse, it can lead to more creativity and innovation. And so certainty, while it brings emotional comfort and peace and ease, it limits you in the number of options or possibilities you see, versus uncertainty that is not comfortable emotionally speaking. It does reveal multiple options and possibilities.
And okay, considering this, do I perceive well that this uncertainty as a feeling is always mine? However, it can be created in me as a result of my inner processes, as I'm thinking that, for example, maybe the path I was going this way up until now is not maybe the best one, and maybe I'll be have to changing it and somehow for going for more. So then I'm uncertain whether the things I was doing in my past are still leading me to my finite goal, right? So it can be an internal process, but it can be also kind of triggered by an outside, let's call it stressor, mm-hmm. yeah, or any kind of, you know, happening event, with mayor or whatever. So what we, for example, very much experience nowadays, that kind of decisions are made, you know, over our heads, on the governmental level, and people don't know how to react, what will be next, you know, what's going to be tomorrow. And okay, the uncertainty is, of course, still my feeling, mm-hmm. so I'm responsible for this feeling, right? But the trigger was coming from outside. So is there any good or bad way how to handle it, like in both cases?
Absolutely. And so that's the core idea behind so-called emotional literacy. Someone used the term emotional intelligence. So what does it take to be emotionally intelligent? I very much like the term emotional literacy, because it talks about our ability to navigate our own emotions. So how can we navigate the emotion of uncertainty, right? So if people are not emotionally literate and they don't know how to understand or navigate their moment of uncertainty, what they typically do is they see multiple options and they get scared. So they hesitate, which is not bad at all, but they hesitate way too long. So if they remain, if they sit in the moment of the uncertainty too long, they don't know which path to take, so they might actually move to denial. So they fall from uncertainty to denial, because they're like, okay, this is way too complicated, I see too many choices, I don't know which option is the best, I stick to what is most common to me, right? So they would deny all the other options. So people who have lower level of emotional literacy, they would fall from discomfortable uncertainty and they would go to denial. So denying all the other options, right? And we mentioned inclusion or inclusiveness at the beginning of our discussion. And this emotion of uncertainty pops up very often when we talk about diversity and inclusion, because some people who have lower degree of emotional literacy, when they are exposed to difference, it means new choice for them. And if they are not able to understand what this new difference means to me, to my work, to my life, I better look away. So I deny the difference. So there is a very clear link between uncertainty and inclusion and diversity. And so what would someone with higher level of emotional literacy do when they feel uncertain? So you already outlined a powerful strategy. You were talking about curiosity. And that's a powerful way how you can reframe the emotion of uncertainty. Because again, what did we say about uncertainty? I see many options. I don't know which of them is better or worse. But the moment of curiosity helps you to find a way. So you start to wonder, that's another emotion, wonder. And so you start to wonder, okay, I just wonder if I take this path, if I choose this option, what will that bring? How far will this path take me, right? So we are starting to analyze all the options that are on the table. And it's not that you are gaining control over the future. You're still not. You can't. Nothing in life is certain. Sometimes people tell me only that is certain. Yes, but I'm talking about the life, right? Nothing in life is certain.
Maybe change is certain.
Maybe change is certain. There you go. And so even when we plan and prepare for multiple options, it doesn't mean we are controlling the future. We are just creating the feeling of comfort and peace inside of us that we know that, okay, if this option happens, I'm ready. But if that option happens, I'm still ready.
I guess that this could be a very nice final tone of our first podcast, because it brought me kind of optimism, the I'm ready kind of optimism. So to keep up the energies in that way, that so if any uncertainty pops up in me or any change comes, which then evolves uncertainty in me, that it's my choice to react with curiosity, with openness. It's my choice to see the option, to
Absolutely.
See the free choice of in this given situation, instead of denying it. Because as we know, based on the emotional curve, which is a long, like old story. Anyways, if we start with the denial, at the end of the day, we will have to get to this curiosity. So it's up to us how much time do we lose by emotions, kind of like denial or even worse, right?
Absolutely. Emotional literacy is all about choices, right? Yeah. So you can navigate every single of the emotions.
Thank you very much, Andrei. Thank you for this first session of us. And I'm really, truly looking forward for the continuation.
Thank you for having me once again.